can think of put in there. So grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Will you pray with me? Lord, we pray that we, the hearers of your word, may rejoice in our salvation. Amen. Well, we've talked about what we would do if we were creating a time capsule and what we would put in there. Well, on July of 2014, St. John Lutheran Church in Orange, California, celebrated the 100th anniversary of their sanctuary, and as part of that celebration, they took out the cornerstone, removed a time capsule that had been placed there 100 years previously. And inside the capsule, along with some other things, they found a German Bible, a German hymnal, and a local newspaper. Now, I know you guys read my sermon. You see, in these three things, you have a picture of God's work among and through his people. The word of God, the words of his people, and the words of the world. Here is the word of God by which God proclaims the saving work of Jesus Christ and brings salvation to all people. The Bible. Back then, the German Bible. Here are the words of the people in their hymn book by which they give praise to God. And along with the word of God and the word of his people, one has the words of the world. A newspaper gives a glimpse of the world out of which God calls his people and to which God sends his people as part of his saving mission. With these objects, those who laid the cornerstone offered a prayer for future generations that they would continue in God's mission here on earth. In this cornerstone was buried a prayer that people would hear the word of God, proclaim the word of God in their world, and lift up to God their songs of praise. In our Old Testament reading this morning, we do not have a time capsule with objects in it, but we do have a rare glimpse of what was there at Earth's foundation. Our goal is to open up this text and meditate on this song of wisdom so that we might rejoice in the work of God. In our Old Testament reading, we're given a glimpse of creation. Most of us are familiar with the account of creation. I'm sure that most of you could recite with me from Genesis 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Out of nothing, God brought all things to being through nothing. Now, when Floyd or Lynn and I make something, we use things that are already there to build something, to make something out of something else. But God created the world out of nothing. He is the only one that can create. Now, what is beautiful about this text from Proverbs, however, is that we are offered a glimpse of something more when we hear the story of creation. We're given a glimpse of God. God before his work of creation. And what we see there is delight. God's delight. Before the world began, God was rejoicing, and his delight begins the story of our salvation. What was God delighting in? The text answers this for us with two verses, 30 and 31. The Lord was delighting in wisdom, and wisdom was delighting in the people of God made to inhabit the world. Now, the Apostle Paul clarifies for us what this is all about. In writing to the Colossians, Paul testifies to Jesus. He says, "By him all things were created in heaven and on earth." Verse 16 of Colossians 1. Before creation, Jesus was with the God the Father, and all things were created through him. Thus, Jesus is the figure of wisdom, the master workman who is with the Father before the world was created. The Father delighted in Jesus, and Jesus rejoiced before his Father. The world itself was created with exuberance and joy. Father, Son, and Spirit worked together in the creation to bring all things into being. And after the world was created, God called all things good. Matter of fact, very good, which is a Hebrewism which means perfect. This delight, however, spreads from God to his creation. Jesus is seen rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of men. Before the world began, Jesus was filled with delight for all the people. And after the fall into sin, Jesus held on to this original delight. Out of joy, Jesus came to save these people and to restore creation, which had been cursed because of human sin. If one were to go back to the foundation of the world and recover a time capsule, within the capsule one would have the delight of God. God the Father has delight in his Son, Jesus. And Jesus, God's Son, has delight in all people. The story of our salvation begins with the delight of God. God's delight in his work of salvation. Now, sometimes people approach God as a momentary fix for a problem in their life. They turn to God only when something is wrong. As a pastor, I get calls all the time. Somebody that hasn't been to church for 5, 6, 7 years, maybe hasn't even thought about his faith for that long. Suddenly one of his children is ill, or he's lost his job, or having marital troubles. And now he calls on God to fix his life. Something is wrong. A divorce, a death, some kind of disaster. And God is the temporary healer, the momentary fix for a problem in life. And it happens repeatedly. We work with the people. We get them through this tragedy in their life. Things are starting to run smooth, and suddenly we don't see them anymore until the next problem comes up. God, unfortunately, becomes very small. In sin, we reduce God in our lives. I kind of call it our bookshelf God. When something goes wrong in our life, we reach up on the bookshelf and we pull down the Bible, we dust off the dust and the cobwebs, and we want God to fix our life the way we want Him to fix it, and we want Him to fix it now. That's our bookshelf God. Opening this time capsule from Proverbs, however, gives us a different vision of God. Forgiveness is not simply a momentary fix in our lives. It is part of a much larger story. It is part of God's delight before the world began. God the Father delighted in Jesus, who was His master workman. Jesus formed us as creatures and found delight in us. And after we fell into sin, God the Father still delighted in His Son. Why? Because Jesus chose to come to die for our sin and to rise for our salvation. By His death and resurrection, Jesus promises to bring you from this world into the new creation of God, where you will sing an everlasting song of praise in the new Jerusalem in heaven. This song from Proverbs teaches us to sing a song of praise, to give God thanks for His delight in Jesus Christ, who not only created us, but came into love to save us after we fell into sin. When you read the book of Proverbs, it is easy to think about us pursuing wisdom. That is in the book of Proverbs. We expect to encounter short proverbial sayings that will help us in discipleship. And we do. Train up a child in the way he should go. Things like that to help us with our Christian discipleship. Proverbs teaches us how to walk in the ways of God. And what is amazing about this passage from Proverbs, however, is that we don't come across words about us pursuing God. No, indeed. We come across words about God pursuing us. Wisdom goes to the crowded places, calls to all the people, and sings of God's delight. Before we ever pursue God, God pursues us. Before we ever delight in God, God already delights in us. Thus, our salvation begins and ends with God's delight. I know you are all familiar with Psalm 23. You could probably recite it with me. But do you remember how it ends? At the end of Proverbs, or Psalms 23, David looks to the future and says this about God: "Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, maybe you don't know this, maybe you do. But the word "follow" used here in the Hebrew language means to follow in the sense of pursuing. Sort of like having a state cop pursuing you for speeding. But God pursues us all the days of our lives. Because of Christ, God will pursue us with goodness and mercy all of our days. This proverb takes us to the beginning of time to see God's delight so that we can faithfully look ahead to the end of time, knowing His love will pursue us all the days of our lives. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith in Jesus Christ, who delights in us. Amen.